Happy New Year. How many of you actually saw Midnight? Mike did, and Larry did. And was that by choice, Larry, or just accident because you woke up by choice? Well, yeah. 2025, another year to glorify God in our lives, right? All right, let's open with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for 2025. Named after 2025 years in the year of our Lord. Help us as your people to look at every year, including new ones, for the opportunities where we can bring you honor and glory and be a shining light as your people in Lake George and Colorado and around the world. Bless our time now as we study your word. And Holy Spirit, we thank you for what you have done for us and help us to appreciate more the resource you are to help us in our quest for a 2025 that does do the things we should. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so everybody have an outline. We've got a few more weeks. We've been taking it very slowly, and I hope that's okay. Please let me know if we're too slow. But one thing I'm trying to do for 2025, and because of my stroke, is just take it easy and stop and smell the roses. Not be so, you know, have to get through the agenda, you know, no matter how much you guys try to lead me astray. I mean, the rabbit trails, you know what? Hey, that's okay. We've got till Jesus comes back to get through this. But I do want to give a little, mea culpa from last week. One thing, and I will give you your choice. I already gave Kelvin this choice at coffee, but it's either answer A or B, and I will let you guys choose. Last week, when we were talking about Bible translations and some things, you know, I was not happy. I got very confused. And so it's either A, because of my stroke, I don't remember things the way and so I'm sorry if I confuse people and, you know, I'm grasping, oh, I remember that. Well, maybe I don't. So that's answer A. Or B, I'm a preacher. I just make up whatever I want. And remember, 50% of what I tell you is not correct. I just don't know what is. So you get a pick. I hope you choose the charitable one. But I did want to just touch on a couple things. When we are talking about translations, all translations are humans translating, you know, from the original, from what God said, we'll say from the original languages into whatever language, you know, the language of English, French, whatever. All translations do reflect the biases of their translator. To some degree or another, some more, some less. So Trudy had asked about Roman Catholic. They have some very good translations where they go back to the original languages, but they also have some paraphrases that are a little more sympathetic to Roman Catholic doctrine. So all translations, we have to remember, are just that. Even our English translations. You know, that's why sometimes you may wonder, I'll ask you, what translation are you using? You know, and I'll ask for a show of hands, how many, you know, use what translations? When you went through church membership grilling, I probably asked a lot of you, what translation do you like? Because there are things in any translation that can reflect a certain bias towards, especially certain doctrines, things like that. And I just some of those, it's just, they're not that there's wrong. We're going to, the sermon's going to be on what is most important. You know, we have different understandings of certain doctrines. No problem with that. But I want to know what God's people are being fed. And if you're, you know, if you are using a certain translation. Now, I think I did mention last week, study Bibles, the notes really reflect the, you know, the certain doctrine. That's what, you know, early on, you know, what, 600 years ago, the Bibles would be translated, and Roman Catholics, for example, would not like certain Bibles, study Bibles, because they reflected Reformation study notes, for example. The Geneva Bible, we'll say, that's a very Reformed, you know, Calvinistic, had a lot of very Reformed study notes. Catholics did not approve of their folks, you know, with all those heretical notes to them. So I hope that clears a little of that up. And then I think the question, only Roman Catholic and maybe some Orthodox, I'm not sure about them, contain the apocryphal books. There are no, you know, I think I said Lutheran Bibles. There's really not a Lutheran Bible other than Luther gave us the first translation, a good translation in German. You know, and now there's probably Lutheran Bibles that have Lutheran study notes. That's different than the actual translation. But no Protestant, Lutheran, Protestants are, you know, Lutherans, Presbyterians, Methodists, Baptists, you know, anybody not Roman Catholic, pretty much, will not have the apocryphal books. Those are good history, but they are not the inspired Word of God. And even Roman Catholics call them deuterocanonical, deutero, second canon. So even Roman Catholics will recognize, you know, this is God's word, these apocryphal books, but it's not on the same level as Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. So any questions? You want to come up and whip me for my abuse last week? You know, so, but I'm sorry about that, but, you know, that's, sometimes afterwards I'm like, that didn't sound right. I think I lied to him. See, I go with answer A. I just make stuff up. And so, and sometimes it's to test you. In fact, now I'm on a rabbit trail. And some of you folks, especially Scott and Pam will remember, and I will not name names to protect the guilty. Not them, it's no, but they will know the person. And I once made a rather arrogant comment once that, you know, I could sneak a lot of heresy into a sermon and make it sound convincing, and you guys would not know. You know, I could pull the wool over your eyes, you know, and that was sort of an arrogant, you know, and why would a pastor do that? But that made this person very upset that, no, you can't, you know, fool me on, you know, doctrine of the Bible. And I, you know, there are some things I bet I could, you know, some things that you've probably never heard of, you know, minor doctrines. We're going to be talking about a lot of that during the sermon, what is important and what are secondary issues. So any final abuse questions? All right, so we finished up the anointing, which comes under the bigger heading of illumination. God the Holy Spirit illuminates, shines a light, you know, good English word there, shines a light on his word. And then the anointing, when it comes to talk about the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that is usually in the three times it's used, it's in the context of understanding doctrinal truth, God's word. So that term gets abused a lot. In James, for example, there's the anointing with oil, you know, for healing the sick. That's a little different. But what this is the anointing of the Holy Spirit, which some people take for, you know, signs, wonders. You've got to have this anointing to be full of the Holy Spirit. In the Bible, it's talking about a better understanding of God's word. So next on the list, a little more practical for us, is guiding. So moral and practical truth. Sometimes the phrase, led by the Spirit. So moral. Scott, would you read Romans 8? Romans 12-14. So guiding with regard to moral issues. Here's an example. So Romans 8:12-14.
That says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh, for we can live according to the flesh, we will die. But if this by the Spirit you put on, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, we will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God.
Okay, did you get that? And Spirit therein. New King James translation. See, this is, you know, I use the New King James translation, and there are decisions made by the translator, but Spirit is capitalized, talking about the Holy Spirit. If you are led by the Holy Spirit, you are being guided, you know, as far as putting to death the fleshly body sin, but you are led by the Spirit of God. Then you, there's a moral guiding there. Okay, which that's a good thing. I'm glad I've got God the Holy Spirit helping me make spiritual decisions and prompting me in my life. You know, that, and we ignore him to our detriment. Kelvin, would you please read Galatians 5? Galatians 5:16-18.
I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things of the Spirit. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law.
Okay, sort of the same idea. Flesh, sinful, you know, sort of the contrast, sinful bodily in our sin nature, and then the Spirit, you know, that's the Holy Spirit then guiding us. So they're being contrasted for the sake of this argument. We want to be led by the Spirit. So that's the moral. Any disagreements with that? How can you disagree with that, I would say? But questions about that? Okay, then there are also sort of a more practical side to the guiding. Matthew 4:1, I'll read it. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So Matthew 4, there's that section of Satan tempting the Son of God. You know, that's a big issue there. But Jesus, as fully God, but he was, you know, as the perfect man, he was led by the Spirit. You know, so it's almost like he had God the Son and God the Spirit leading him. You know, so that's a unique example, but Jesus led by the Spirit. All right, then Acts 8:29, then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. If you remember that, Philip meeting the Ethiopian eunuch, the Holy Spirit prompted Philip to go near, and that's where, you know, he ends up witnessing and baptizing the Ethiopian eunuch. And historically, traditions, some people say that was the beginning of the church's the Christianity in Ethiopia, which is still alive and well, I believe. So, you know, just practical advice. Any questions about that? All right. So just a summary statement then. So the guiding of the Holy Spirit can be an inward prompting that is spiritually discerned. And, you know, I would invite anybody that, you know, in here a minute, and invite that inward prompting, the more subjective, yes, prompting, but by the Holy Spirit, not, you know, not my mother-in-law yelled at me and I felt impelled to do what she said. No. Kate told me I had, no, that's not the, sorry, Kate, that's not the Holy Spirit. And sometimes. And can we hold that probably? We're going to talk about the gifts, the discernment of you know, a gift of discernment. That is one of the charismatic gifts. And we're going to talk more about that. But yes, that's, and so, but there is that subjective. You know, I'm not, you know, I'm a German. If the Bible doesn't say it, I don't believe it. No, the Holy Spirit illumines, anoints. And so there is that subjective. Now, have any of you ever done Henry Blackaby's Experiencing God workbook? Okay. Good. But he made a statement that even sticks in my stroke-addled brain here. I don't, if you tell me God told me to do this, okay, I don't doubt your experience. Don't doubt it at face value, but I reserve the right to interpret it or compare it to Scripture. So that makes sense, and I don't think anybody could disagree with that. But we have this happen where some Christian terrorist, God told me to kill all these people. No, he didn't. You know, Muslims, Allah told me to drive a truck through New Orleans. No, he did. Well, Allah might have, because Allah's really a demon, but the Holy Spirit will never prompt someone apart from His Word. Does that make sense? And right there, that is a key issue with folks that are very big into, you know, and I say I'm using big in my German word-centered approach, but they are very big on living by the Spirit, sort of, me and the Holy Spirit, we decide. Well, when do you study the Bible? Oh, I don't need the Bible. I've got the Holy Spirit to tell me. No, you don't. No, you don't. Yeah. Danger, Will Robinson. So it can be the inward prompting, and great question, Tammy. We'll get more to that. What are the gifts of the Spirit in a couple weeks, or by godly wisdom? That's where, you know, Kate, you know, a spiritually especially mature believer who is saturated with the Word of God could offer, well, you know, it's almost like you're teaching Scripture in an informal setting. So by godly wisdom from others, or by godly wisdom through an understanding of the Word of God. So grounded in God's Word, you know, we have that objective book, you know, an objective standard. And that goes back to what is the Word of God. We'll talk more about that in the sermon, because I foam at the mouth, you know, that about God's Word and inerrancy and infallibility. Those are big words. You know, this is not just some inspired book like Shakespeare. It's much, much more than that. And so that goes back to what is objective truth. Because if this is just a made-up book, well, then why not have, you know, my preferences, you know, Okay, here, let me turn this off for a second. Got to tell a story. So, that's, maybe I shouldn't have shared that. So the illumination, the anointing, Holy Spirit tied to his word. We cannot detach the Holy Spirit from his word in the sense of the Holy Spirit, prophets, pastors, none of us can ever get a word from the Lord that contradicts Scripture. Does everybody agree with that? And make sense, because if not, you're free to leave now. Because that's, is there the more subjective, I use the word subjective, element? Yes, but it's always grounded in the objective word. So, all right, so that's guiding. Makes sense? And that's, do any of you have any, in your life, examples of the Holy Spirit guiding you, in whatever? I'm sure we all do. Anybody have one? Or now have I squashed the wrong? Sorry. See, that's a danger, me. Yvonne.
I felt the Holy Spirit needed me to come back to this church. I lost my husband in August, and we had talked about finding my church home. And we watched church and said our prayers and did everything that we felt, but I just really felt that I was missing. We both did. And while I was in the hospital, we both spoke God to be the kind of home. He found his home.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you. Yeah, Yvonne shared that with me. But that's a perfect example, that God, the Holy Spirit, impressing on us, maybe a church family. And believe it or not, as obnoxious as I am, but I have people all the time tell me, oh, your church is so wonderful. And I like to point out, yeah, the church is the people. We have such a great bunch of people. It makes it easy for a knucklehead like me. It, you know, it's not the pastor. It's what God is doing in CFC through his people. And so with few exceptions, and I'll name those exceptions in a minute, why the people here are great. No, I'm kidding. I'm I'll give you a hint. I don't call Tammy the chief demon for nothing. I'm kidding. Thank you, Yvonne. Thank you, Sharon.
So we tied everything down, and almost home, we had a blown front tire, and we rolled the car from 3 to 5 times. My son rolled around in the meshing of the playpen, and he was all right.
And so there's a great example of just sort of practical, you know, an intuition warning that, you know, things outside our control. See, I'd buy that, of course. Debbie.
So when I pray, because so many times I have to make decisions that I have no idea what I'm doing. So I always pray for guidance and wisdom and courage to follow through.
That's the second part. That is good. Now, does the Holy Spirit encourage you to put your duct tape on so that the Holy Spirit can get a word in edgewise? I'm kidding. I saw another hand over here. Scott.
Still live your witness and let the Spirit guide you through how you're going to deal with those things and be part of the group.
Yeah, especially the fighter community of Air Force Navy flying. A lot of wickedness, and Scott's call sign was salty, like the salt and life of light in the world, and in the world in Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount. And that's so guiding us in life to live out our faith, that's a great example. Now, so, yeah. Yeah. You don't roll down the window and say, get a job. That's Kelvin. No, that's good. Yeah, just a sort of a prompting of the Holy Spirit that, you know, this could be legit or, you know, that's good. In fact, the reason I'm here, so you can blame the Holy Spirit, but I, you know, pastored up in Nebraska and, you know, good church family up there, and just, I was decided, you know what, I'm going to go pursue more studies because, you know, I'm sort of wired to teaching and things, but I'm going to stay in the church, continue to be an elder, maybe teach Sunday school. And so I stepped down as pastor, but just a couple years before we had brought in another pastor who was a friend of mine, and we were so co-pastors. Some of you oldies have met him before, Hod. And so we did have two pastors on staff at this little church. And so I stepped down. Well, a week later, the Air Force Academy called and said, I had no idea. So, you know, I felt bad because, you know, people are probably suspicious that, yeah, you just quit so you couldn't go to the academy. I had no idea, as God is my witness. But called me to Colorado to teach at the Air Force Academy, which I did as a chaplain for a few years. But then Herschel was stepping down, and we got a message at the academy. Any of you reservists, there's a church up in Lake George looking for a pastor. Who cares? Well, one day George and I were driving out somewhere, and we drove by the church building, and oh, that's that church that's looking for a pastor. And Tony Shelton loves to tell this story. He and Cherry were here. She was the secretary. And so they're, hey, you know, me be me. Let's stop in and say hi. And so after talking to Tony and Cherry, it's like, you know what, this could be, where God wants us to come. And about the same time, the Air Force Academy, all the GWAT extra money. You know, I was not going to be a full-time chaplain as a reservist anymore. And so it was one of those things that God opened a door and now you're stuck with me. You know, but how God works. And the term is called, you know, that God's calling, the Holy Spirit guiding morally and practically in this case of, you know, just coming to a place, and you know, and there's a lot of folks that have joined the church over the last couple of years, and one of the things they tell me is, God just, you know, I just felt God wanted me at this church, you know, that the people are so good, and you guys stay centered on the Bible, and just, you know, it's a God is for God's glory. You know, we may be stepchildren, but we're God's children.
You have to have that discernment. You have to be listening. I have the husband of my niece who had a parish in Colorado. And he was actually called to Detroit, and everybody's going, what in the world? why would you leave here to go there? And he said,
And that I definitely, you know, believe, because we pastors, let me tell you a secret, we're crazy people and we're human. And some pastors are driven by success, the size of the church. And so I always, you know, I'm not doubting what the Holy Spirit did, but my eyebrow will sort of go up when pastors are always called, seems like, to a bigger church. You know, and it's like, Oh, and I always wonder, was that a calling or was that, you know, that was the a career decision. You know, Giles and Angel probably have to deal with that a lot, where pastors are burnt out because their egos are not being stroked or their success is not what they think versus what God has called them to do. So, yeah, that's it. In the ministry, that we pastors can cause a lot of harm if we are not where God wants us. And John, I'm sure, has seen this, you know, many times throughout his ministry. Guys that are, you know, the Peter principle, promoted beyond their capabilities, you know, and that's, and then they, it's not all just fun and games. It's, oh, I can't handle this, you know, maybe a big church multi-staff where now you have to play referee and things like that. So any other examples? Those are all good. See, and that's the guiding that is tied to the illumination and anointing. So it's ultimately grounded in God's word. But yet, how God helps us, God the Spirit helps us in our daily lives. So if any of you, you know, when Larry, I'm going to point at Larry. When Larry comes to me and tells me that I think God wants me to be a good Christian bank robber, I'm going to say, well, Larry, you can't drive the getaway car for one thing. But I don't. I've seen Sue drive. She could be. But that's where you test it with the plumb line of God's word. So, well, any final comments? We don't get very far in the outline, but I think this is, yeah, you don't want to listen to me drool all over everything for. So any final comments? All right, so next week we will start with the, you know, usually the, for some people, the ear tickling stuff about equipping, which is a broad category, but part of the Holy Spirit equips us for service, and that gets into the spiritual gifts, and that's where people, there are denominations that have divided over this topic. And so, you know, when I use the term charismatic, those of you, most of you might know what that means, but that's a family of churches that if they call themselves charismatic or Pentecostal, they have a different, or they have their own unique view of what these gifts are versus, you know, sometimes like a very strict Reformed church that, oh no, God doesn't do any of that. You know, so there's a spectrum there. And we'll share stories maybe from where some of you come. And that, by the way, is when you go through the grilling for membership or just in conversation. I like to ask where you're coming from. What type of church background? Maybe if you're coming from another church family, like last week, if you're a fugitive from justice. Not too many of you were fugitives from justice, but those are things that, as an under-shepherd, you know, I'm responsible to God for the care of all his sheep. And that's, you know, that means if, you know, for example, if you were running from another church for the wrong reason, you know, that's, no, he's an under-shepherd too, that other pastor. And so, you know, how can we make sure we as the overall universal church are bringing God to glory? And then the things we, and that'll be today's message, the things churches split over are usually inconsequential things, you know, but it seems important to us. But when you really get down to what really matters, it's not. It sort of shows our preferences are more important to us than what's important. And I will find a church that caters to me. And then once we're there, we're not happy because they're not catering the way I think they should cater. So, any final comments? All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for you, Holy Spirit, how you have guided us. Give us your wisdom grounded in your word to make wise decisions, big and small, in our lives. And we thank you for that support. As your children, we do not feel abandoned. We are not stepchildren because we have you indwelling us ultimately and helping us to live lives that please you. Bless us now as we go into the main service. May we honor you in all the different avenues, and as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, remembering the unity we have because of what Christ ultimately has done for his people. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, Amen.